One, and this is the regular meeting of the Finance Committee, December 11th, 2025. Present Director Gear and myself, Colin Merchant. Our first item is call to order. We just did that. Any comments from the public before we start with the individual items? I don't see any. Review developer, item one, review developer fee study.
We are pulling this item from the agenda due to the fact that we need more research input direction before we can go forward with it.
Okay. Item two.
Audits update.
Audit update.
Okay, so 23-24 fiscal year, we're moving along. If you go to the second page. So the balance sheet's reconciliation improved from 20% to 60%. Balance sheets reviewing all their work, it's from improved from 20% to 40%. Audit work paper, we started preparing for it already, and it's at 50%. So overall, in the D section, you will see the balance sheets rec in a format that if it's checked, it's done. The highlighted yellow parts are we're working on it. The obstacle that I have is my team started getting sick from cold and flu. So the highlighted part on the Tyler revenue section and installment plan, I checked to be completed, but my staff had been out for that section for 4 days now. So I think it's done, but it's not. I thought it would be done, but it's not done.
Okay.
So same thing with the fixed asset. I highlighted it, but there's no movement because fixed asset, there's a lot of work there. It's kind of messy, and the structure inside needs a lot of work. So all in all, it's moving along, but it's slower than I thought. I initially thought that we'll have the end of the audit by the end of January. Probably will not start. They can still start, but I think that I need more time to finish all the reconciliation. So that's that. The 24-25 audit, it's on hold because I want to refocus our efforts in accounting for 25-26. We've made a lot of improvement on that. The goal is to have preliminary financial for fiscal year 25-26, at least for the first 5 months in January, Finance Committee. So budget, it's uploaded to Great Plains, accounting for at least for the input into the system. Tyler, miscellaneous deposit, credit card entries, and expenses are all mostly inside the system now. The next thing that I have to do in the next 2 weeks is to review all the expense coding. Payroll entry needs to be in. We need to redo the financial format inside Great Plains to hold the mapping. And also then set up budget versus actual financial template, that kind of thing by fund inside the system. So that could be an obstacle because I don't know how fast Great Plains can be mapped to do that. But
right.
I'm moving toward to the first Finance Committee. So that's that. Any questions?
Just in terms of the year-to-date financial statement, are you in a position now, until you roll those audits forward, you can't really report effectively on reserves, can you? I mean,
I can.
By category?
Yeah, I'm actually, I can, but it's not audited. I can kind of roll it. I actually, because we are doing the 2 years, and I can pull, I kind of know how to do it for the next 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
I can do that. I have to do it.
Yeah,
so,
and it can be unaudited. It would.
Yeah, it'll give you
it will be something.
Idea.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I'll say that in my. So you want that to be in the Finance Committee in January, right?
Yeah, we're going to have one more Finance Committee before you report it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
if
we take a look at it here and see where we are.
Yeah, the fixed asset part might not be done because once I pull how much we collect it and then minus what we have spent, that part might not be done,
like
the spending, the CIP project.
So,
but I'll give you a net amount of the total.
For the next committee meeting, you'll already be cut off. So it's, you can show us what you have relative to those financials at the committee meeting. Will you be that far along? In other words,
you mean for the restricted,
a draft,
right?
Of it? If,
yeah,
to say,
I can show you what I showed for the restricted fund, the same format.
Yeah, and what about the rest? What about the rest of it? The statement itself for the first 5 months.
Yeah, it will be. That's what we're working on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I just don't know how fast I can remap and reset up the financial in Great Plains.
Okay.
Because we've never done it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But we're working towards it. Chris and my team is working towards remapping it. So.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions before I move to the next, which is Richardson and Company revised audit costs. Okay, so Richardson, our audit company, has come back and asked for an additional fee for $10,000. The first two emails, it's email from the partner of the firm asking and explaining why they need the additional fee. Then I went back to our contract, and in the most recent contract, as I highlighted, it says our fee assumed 10 or less audit adjustment would be needed, and that fund is, and that the fund of the district is in balance, meaning the fund in balance. It wasn't balanced in the last two audits. We have to do a lot of work. We have about 38 journal entries. So the fee says, as highlighted, the fee also include 8 hours general consulting. We basically asked them to redo the audit after what Mark has submitted, and then I came in and redo the whole thing.
And they couldn't do that in eight hours, right?
They couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Or,
just checking.
Yeah. So that's an approval that I'm asking the finance committee to be presenting to the board for approval.
Is that the 10,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill?
Yeah, my question is kind of procedural. Whenever we do contracting, do we not add in contingency amounts for things such as this?
So the contract was done before me. They did a five-year contract.
A five-year contract.
Yeah. And in her email, she did say, I didn't charge you for before the mark year. I was so over budget because I think the punning group was in here doing the same thing. And she said, I've already didn't bill you in pun group year, and now mark year, I just cannot sustain the cost, which I think is fair because I also did 15 years of audit. I know how what it means for them to have to redo everything again, again, and again. You know,
okay.
Your book is supposed to be presented with limited correction. So, you know, when you have an accountant here with an audit with multiple journal entry, then their monthly financial statement means that it's not good for you guys to make decisions. So again, I'm asking for approval.
Okay.
And they're coming in January. I want them to be happy.
So, to answer your question, Bill, yes, we generally do.
Yeah. I mean, I remember
when we're doing RFPs for things.
When we did the HR to go, we discussed it, and we did up our how much we were allocating.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether we did in the 5 years in the past,
no,
6 years before when we.
I'm sure that the contingency on this one was not do the audit twice.
Yeah.
So is there any
this
objection?
This one had, when we wrote this contract, it had built in for it to be a little bit higher every year for the five-year period.
But, okay.
Oh, yeah, so.
Okay.
So we'll just recommend to the board that we approve the 10 grand?
Yep.
Okay.
And, all right, next item. So this is CFD bond. Annual report done by MBS. It's a requirement for me to talk about the SB. It's requirement SB 165 for me to talk about that report. So if you can go to the next few pages, specifically, first page. So you don't have to read the entire thing, but under the category, the blue category under fund, It says, after meeting the September 2, 2025 debt service payment, a surplus of $187,000 exists in the redemption fund. The balance in the administration expenses account as of June 30, 2025 was less than what was required to meet 6 months of the fiscal year. So we spend less than, so there's a surplus. So there's a recommendation in the second paragraph. Per the fiscal agent agreement described in an official statement of the bond, MBS recommend the district to transfer the surplus fund to administration funds so that we can't spend it. It cannot be going to RMCSD, but it's just rebucket them so that we can pay for other expenses. Now, as I was looking at this, I do realize that we did not charge the bond for our internal cost for bond, for working on the bond administration fee and all that. We also did not charge the audits to the bond. And I talked to MBS and also the Wilmington Trust, which is our bond agents, and I let them know that this will be coming through. So there's a process to request fund to be issued inside the Wilmington Trust. Is we have to request it. It has to be legitimate bond-related expenses for them to issue a check. That's the rule inside the bond documents.
Right.
And so as such, I mark that I'm done with the bond, but I'm not done with the bond now. I have to go back and charge the bond internal costs. We have consultant here working for the bond. We have numerous years of audit that we have not charged them. So I intend to re-look at how much we have not charged the bond and have the bond pay for it. And that's another reason why they have a surplus, too, because they budget for this, but we did not spend it for the past some years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, and I did read this, and about half of it I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
When the surplus that they're referring to, how was that generated? How did we get that surplus? Are we charging built into what is being reimbursed? Is that
so
admin fee in there, and then as we pass the money out to cover the cost of the bond,
yeah,
the leftover is the administrative cost? Is
yeah,
that
so
what
if
that
you
is?
Can turn to page 3, I can explain a little bit further. Page 3 in the PDF file. Keep going.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Page 3 of the actual paperwork.
So you're looking at there.
Yep. Yeah. So you see that there's $70,000 budgeted for administration fee.
Yeah, but there was a big. My confusion was there was a bigger surplus than that.
Right, and I'm going to explain. So there's a little number 1 under administration fee expenses. It includes county collection fee and installment recording for tax roll. And I actually annually, this position is supposed to tell them how much I'll be spending. And when I got here, I told them that it would be $58,000. That includes all the internal fee that my accountant is doing the bond, financial consultant that will be coming in to help, MBS fee, Wilmington Trust fee, and some kinds of fees. So I budget for 58, but in the last so many years, I know we're not charging this entity to pay for it, this bond entity. This is a restrictive fund. So we have not been charging that, and so I need to go back to however many years and spend down that administration fund.
Yeah, and when you're doing that, and I'm going to get this off the top of my head, it might have been 2017, and I have some of my own stuff floating around. We did a lot of work with Wilmington that centered around the fact that Rancho North was not paying their property taxes.
Mm.
And there we were fielding questions from the bond market and from investors, and Tom Hennig was doing this, and I remember specifically that we had a request from Rancho North to refund a deposit so they could use the deposit to pay the taxes, and
yes,
then it was a lot of that.
I'm aware of it.
Okay,
because when I did the last audit, I looked into last year, and there was a special report done by MBS on looking at who's paying, who's not paying, and all that.
Yeah, so whatever you can capture in terms of the work that went in and around that exercise, let's see what we can get back for that.
Yeah, so that's that will put me a little bit behind because I have to go back 5 years and whatever years to recapture the expenses, spend down that amount, and then redo the audit.
Oh, geez.
Rebucket the audit.
Okay.
So,
is there any specific date requirement on this function for you? I mean, in the contract or in the law or something?
Yes. If you go back to page one of this report. Where was I? Page one. Page one, the district summary, yes. So I think I read the second paragraph and know that MBS recommend that the remaining surplus within the redemption fund be transferred to surplus fund. And then there's another recommendation that if we have extra money, then at the end of the third paragraph, which is as of June 30th, that third paragraph, all the transfers are completed and perform a bond call on March 1st, 2026 with remaining balance. So I probably will rebucket everything and charge for the 24-25 and then go back to them and ask them to redo this report. And then they will tell me what is the remaining balance. We can essentially, because the way they tax, levy the tax is based on how much expenses for this fiscal year. And if we have surplus, we can actually pay off the bond principal faster. So that's another recommendation that we should do this by March 1st, 2026. And I hope I can get to that point in March 1st, 2026.
Yeah, and we're not, other than doing the administrative work, paying it off faster or slower has no impact on the district.
Yeah. But it's just you know, if we have remaining amount, we can pay off the bond faster. So that's call. You know, that's a good thing. So, it's
okay.
Work to be done.
Just make sure we get what we're owed before we do that.
So I want to say that every time I open up a can of worms, there's more work to be done. and it feels like I thought I was done in bond. No, I need to go back and redo this, you know. So that's why the delay, because everything that I looked at has to have investigative work to be done. So that's the recommendation for first page. Want you read this out loud and discuss that with you. Also, the last paragraph for delinquency, it's reporting that we have no delinquency in tax. That's something it's important to know, right? So that's the report from MBS. Now, page two, this is the required report to be discussed in the board and finance committee. So basically, if you go to the table down below, we have four accounts inside the Wilmington Trust. We have acquisition construction fund, interest. We use that to pay interest for the bond. Cost of insurance fund and reserve account, administration expense account. For the acquisition and construction fund, I did ask them how come we have a remaining balance of $66,000 there. I mean, our water treatment plan has been done already. Well, how come we have that? And I'll explain that in one of my presentation with the BFA. But basically, I said, what are we going to do with this remaining balance? They said that we can actually pull it into the redemption fund and pay off the principal. So I want to make you aware of that. And then once I'm done with that, then the status will be close. Because essentially at this time, acquisition construction fund should be done. Interest and cost of insurance fund should be done. Because we pay all the lawyer and everybody, so that should be done. Of course, reserve account is something that for the bond requirement, we have to have some reserve rainy day funding. That's going to be ongoing. Administration expense account also, it's ongoing because every year we have to pay something. So I just want you to be aware that that's what is showing. And then next page, We talked about the administration fee already, and you know, that fund, we budget for that every year for the past 5 years, and we have not spent down that money. That's why we have the balance. And then the next page is the special tax. So this is how much we are, what's going on with the taxes situation. But all in all, I just want you to know that we have, they collected every single dime that they levy. There's no issue, as you talked about in the prior years.
Right,
so that's,
okay.
That's the requirement. And that's shown in page 6 of this report. So you can see the delinquency summary. There's no delinquency. It's zero. And then one more page I want to show you is, this one doesn't have a page number. If you can go to page 10. And then keep going when you can see the amortization table. Keep going. There. So this is to show you, MBS reported to you guys that we are timely with the bond payment, because it shows the last pay is September 1st, 2025. Our next payment will be next year in March. Okay?
What's the frequency of the payments?
Two times for you, September and March.
Okay.
Any questions before I move to the next item?
Where do you want me to go?
The BFA. Okay, so this is a proposal to close the BFA account inside the CFD 14. I want to say that the following pages was not prepared by me. It was prepared by a person called Michelle that you guys hired many, many moons ago.
Michelle Ammond.
And she also was from Robert Half, right?
She is a temp from Robert Half. She was here for over a year. She took over while Cindy Chow was on maternity leave, and then Cindy left, and Michelle kind of stayed on board. She was here for over a year, and she was a forensic accountant.
Is she a forensic accountant?
Yeah, that's what she said. That was what she said she was. She'd worked with the, I think she'd worked with the CIA in the past.
She did.
Yeah, so she was.
And she was quite amazing.
Yes, she was.
I did a lot of work with her.
Oh, good.
And she was, she had no long-term plans of working or certainly of staying here.
But exactly.
I gave that a go. Didn't work out.
So anyway, with such a confidence, you know, from you two, I did read her work, and it shows that there's a lot of confidence in her work. I see that there's a lot of work done. And and also wanted to say that she was there at the time of this report, presented to the Finance Committee, but then disappeared in two months. I didn't see her presentation in the board. So this was presented in the Finance Committee, but never got to the board level. And then the next person that filled her place is Paula. So I never see her, and I think this got dropped off from that time. So I want to, you know, so if you can go to the next page, I want to start with.
Michelle, the accounting department spent a lot of time trying to understand during Tom's tenure here, the CFD, where the money had gone, all the different bank accounts. And Michelle spent a good deal of time understanding this.
Right.
And you were on the finance committee
right.
when she presented this, and it was pretty well received at that point.
Yeah, so what a pity that we didn't move it to the board level. And at this time, we have a BFA account. Why this is urgent is we are paying $400 to $600 per month on BFA account banking fee. and I would love to not pay that. And so that's why I need to bring this up and then close the account. This is my request to close the account. But before I present to you the mess that she presented way back when, then you will agree that we need to just move the bank account out. So so this is according to the summary here, you will see that how the water treatment plan was financed. First, 35% is from RMCSD, and then RMB, I'm thinking that it's Raven and Bardis. Yeah, I think RMB is a line of credit. They fund 33%, and then the bond itself funds the 31%. And the budget was 12.3 million, but the actual spending is 13 million. So we have a cost overrun of 879.
And that 13 million is low. And I don't know how far out this extends to whatever date cutoff is there, but it didn't stop at 13 million. It was more than that.
I think it went up close to 16, didn't it?
You better believe it. There's more money.
And I have the cost overrun binders if anybody.
Yeah, and I don't know how it relates specifically to the numbers we see in the Bank of America as opposed to relating to the whole cost. But
this is her starting point to say how much CFD should be funding and not funding.
Yeah, and that's why I don't know the relevance of that 13 number to what the actual cost was, but there is in that contract, if my memory serves me correctly, a clause that governs the allocation of overruns. And I would take a look. I would take a look for that.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty.
And there was a staff report that came out at the end of this that went over that. I will search that out for you and send it to you, John. So you, okay.
So anyway, I want to point out that this report was prepared as of April 30th, 2021. So you see the timestamp that she had, and. That was her overview of what's going on with the bond. And if you turn to the next page, so the bond was issued as a result with 5.7 million. And why is it larger than the 3.8 million in the previous page? Because you have lawyer fee, accountant fee, and all that, cost of issuance. Then the next page, you see that Wilmington Trust is the dedicated banking, basically, per the bond. You should not be using any other bank because the bond document specifically said that Wilmington Trust is your banker. So to have BFA, I don't know who started that, but I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah.
So with the bond gave $5.3 million to Wilmington Trust, and then $435,000 for cost of issuance to be in Wilmington Trust. Second page. Then Wilmington Trust, who is responsible for paying for the fee, issue administration fee. And you can see that the listing shows the breakdown of the administration fee paid. Next. Then there's different and interest earned from the trust account, which is also a banking, right? That was deposited back into a mention trust. Next. Then all of a sudden, BFA started. The district set up a bank account called BFA to handle the construction expenses for the bond. So the money goes from Wilmington Trust to BFA. The construction amount of $4.3 million and expense of $98,000. Now, I'm a little bit worried about that because this is a restricted account. Bonds should be used for bond purposes, and I don't know how we, Wilmington Trust also, and MBS too. MBS is kind of like the consultant lawyer allowed this to happen, but I don't have enough energy to go back to find out what happened. But So the Women in Trust sent the money to BFA. BFA started handling the construction costs. Okay? And that's the first step of something went wrong. And then what happened is the county started sending money to BFA or RMCSD and not to Women in Trust. So then BFA has to cut a check back to Women in Trust to pay the two blue items. $545,000.
Back up a minute there. Yeah. Back up. I'm losing you. So, if somewhere we have banking records for this particular account, that what I think I'm hearing would relate specifically to construction costs that were actually being paid out as we were building the plant, which would have been 2014, 2015, 2013?
2014, 2015.
Right. And that's only... Did we put the contributions that we made from our reserves?
Okay.
And did we put the bond money, and did we put the money from the LC that we had from Reinen and Bartus into the B of A account collectively, and then use that to pay construction costs, or are we paying now out of three different places or
okay.
two different places?
So from the arrows there, you can see that Wilmington Trust generate the bond money and then pay BFA a lump sum so that BFA can start handling construction payment. But technically, it should be coming from Wilmington Trust. They're the trust escrow account that whatever construction fee invoice that we have should be presented to Wilmington Trust and they pay out of it. So that's the point that I don't know why Wilmington Trust and NBS allow BFA to be set up to pay. Because right now, whatever payment I have to make for the bond, I have to drop up a request, send an invoice to Women in Trust, and Women in Trust pay for it. And they would determine that's administration, construction costs, and it comes out from each bucket. So I don't know what happened, and it's done already. And whether the money, and we have money internally in RMCSD to pay some part of the construction costs, I'm sure that's been done too, but there's... The whole point of me showing this, it is very confusing, and
yes.
I'm halfway through it. It is very confusing, and the funding is just going everywhere. There's more.
So there's a lot of documentation on this. There's staff reports that went to the board. The cost overrun was approved by the board at the time. So let me share those with Cecilia, and we'll work on it, and maybe bring this whole topic. This whole global topic back to the committee next month with some details, because it is incredibly confusing. What we're here, though, to talk about today is closing Bank of America.
Yes, and I would recommend that we don't go back and dig up the dirt in the past.
Yeah.
It's done.
Okay, good. I love that idea.
No, but here's what I'm interested in knowing.
Okay.
Okay, from one or more places, well, we know it's more than one. Okay, there's money that was transferred to a place and paid expenses, construction expenses, that relate specifically to the water treatment plant. And these are you know, floating around from 2014, 15, and 16. What I'd like to know, after you find all of those particular accounts that were used to do that, is what did the water plant cost? And Travis and I have recollections that it was well above the 13.
Yeah.
And after we find out...
Over 15.
After we find out what it cost collectively in whatever accounts it came from, then I'd like to understand if we had any contributions from the bond originator that relate to the contract on how we were supposed to cover overruns.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that when we get the total number and we look, I don't know that any of that has been done. And there's a couple of million floating around here, and if it was coming out systematically from internal accounts and not from Wilmington or not from even the B of A, which is not the whole amount, then did we pay it all?
I think if we don't, then the vendor will be coming out after us.
No. I know the vendors got paid. I'm not questioning the vendors got paid, but if that amount went from there was a $12.5 million number that included, if I remember, a 10% contingency. And in that period of time, as the board was reviewing this, everybody was, oh, it's fine, because, well, we spent 12.1 or whatever the number was, and we had already budgeted that contingency anyway. Well, the contingency was really an overrun, but we used it and we paid it and we had budgeted it, so everything was fine according to that. There's money beyond that initial amount, and I just want to see what that amount is and whether... whatever the contract says, half of that is the responsibility of
the
Rancho
North. The link has been deleted. Okay, let me. So. I have it. Give me 5 minutes. I have to reestablish.
Well,
the
we
link.
Don't. I don't need the answer now. But
right now, John.
Yeah, but I'd like to see. I'd like to see that accounting at some point.
Okay, I have it.
Okay, so if you move to the next page. Then BFA also started paying administration expenses, and it's technically not their job, BFA. It should be Wilmington's job. So that's another confusion. I don't know what's going on there, but you know, it shouldn't be paid out of Bank of America as well. Next slide. So now you can see RMCSD logo start appearing because the tax from the bond went to RMCSD. Don't know why. So then RMCSD has to send it back to Bank of America, but it really should be sending it to Wilmington Trust because they are the dedicated bond banker to issue all the payment. So more and more confusion, and then BFA start paying other fee as well. So now, next page.
Cecilia, can you just explain to me, though, real quickly, just when you're talking about the tax, is that the income tax on the, what tax are?
The bond, yeah. So the MBS report that I just presented, they collect tax, and it should be deposited to Wilmington Trust, but instead it was deposited into RMCSD's account. Then RMCSD cut a check to Bank of America so that Bank of America can pay back Wilmington Trust. Wilmington Trust then can pay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you know, again, it's very confusing.
Okay.
And all
okay.
I want at the end of the day is close that BFA, stop the bleeding of the monthly analysis fee for $500 to $600.
Right.
Because since 2017 to now, we have not. So guess how much is that, right?
Just so I understand, that right now, other than the fees were being charged by the BFA, you're getting a statement that's showing no activity?
No activity.
Okay.
For years.
Okay.
So, and then if you can turn to the next page, you know, there's more. Like, there's another icon for Sac County, another line that says, okay, Sac County send the money to RMCSD. RMCSD now become a little bit smarter to send the money to Wilmington Trust and not to Bank of America. So, anyway, by the way, I just want you to know that Sac County's money, it's into the bond now. It's no longer like this. Michelle fixed it. So, more confusion. At the end, the next slide, please. So, is that the Michelle conclusion? Yes. So on the right-hand side, with all the blue comments, those are what Michelle talked about in the finance committee. Basically, the conclusion is with all these messiness, BFA, and then we still have some money sitting in BFA as of now, as of the April 30th, 2017, which what she was going to do here is in the next couple of weeks, getting all the amounts together so that we can move and close and send it back to Winton Trust. We're discussing closing the BFA account and then paying the monthly fee through Eldorado Savings Bank account. And then we'll be reimbursing the bond each year with when NBS does their accounting for the expense of the bond. And that way we can get the BFA account closed, the money in there, which I believe right now is about 129. When she said right now, it's as of April 2017. It's about 129,000. I don't have the amount at the tip of her finger, but money will go back to Women in Trust. So as of last time I checked, we're at 103. So I intended, with your approval, I intended to close the bank in 2 months, wait till I figure out all the costs that we need to pay. The transfer of RMCSD's cost to Wilmington Trust. I did talk to Wilmington Trust, and they are unwilling to take money from other source other than tax. So I intend to pay off all the fee from our, you know, RMCSD's cost through Bank of America and then close the account. Money that they would not take, I'm asking them to take it into not the tax account, but into the administration fee. I'm still talking to them. But the goal is I need approval from you guys to say close the Bank of America account.
Oh my God.
So we can stop the bleeding of $500 to $600 per month.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So noted. So you
got it.
We recommend
moving this to the board.
To close it. Right.
To close it. Thank you very much.
Do you want me to go through these in detail in the board, or how do you want me to?
Not yet. There may come a time after.
Yeah, I'm sending you things
Amelia
now. I'm finding interesting information.
We may want to go back someplace with it. I'm trying to find out, and it doesn't relate specifically. It comes from this, okay? But there are obviously multiple sources that were used to pay contractors that built the water plant. Bank accounts. It didn't all come from Wilmington, didn't all come from B of A, and may have come in part from CSD itself. I don't know. But when
I have it all right here.
Yeah, when we see that, okay, we will come up with a number that Travis knows is higher than 13, and I know is higher than 13 million. And then I want to see, okay, once we really understand what that number is, what did we do if we did anything? And if we didn't do anything, then what is it that the contract says we should be doing that shares the cost of overruns?
How does it apply to the BFA account?
It doesn't specifically. So we're saying go ahead and close that.
Okay.
There's no activity in it anyway.
Okay.
But what it did was kind of illustrate other stuff that may have occurred that, you know, we probably ought to get our arms around and understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But yes, we'll close that.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, next item, another can of worms. MOU versus personnel handbook, vacation accruals.
Oh my goodness.
I want to actually go to the last page and then go back to these personnel menu. The last page, which shows an Excel worksheets. So can you expand it a little bit bigger?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So when I look at the MOU for two terms, which is January 21 to December 23, and then the next MOU that starts January 24 to December 26, and then compared to the personnel handbook, I get very conflicting numbers. So in the first column, MOU, January 21 to December 23, year 1 to 4, people are supposed to be accruing 80 hours per the MOU. But the personnel handbook, which is right next column, says 96 to 128 hours. And then the maximum accrual, which is the next role, shows in MOU January 21 to December 23, 160 hours, but the personnel handbook shows 2 years. So that's affecting my audit for fiscal year 23 and 24. You can see the X in there. And should I use 80 or should I use 96 or 128 hours? Should I use the cap rate for 2 years or should I use 160? That's another can of worm that as we recalculate everything, and this is part of the, in the audit, we have to demonstrate what's the compensated absence vacation for the audit. What's the liability for us? Should I use 80 or 96? So that's the problem here. And so me, Amelia, Diane, we've went back to all the minutes that around that period. We have no evidence that the MOU was changed. I did write to the union too, and they're looking into it for me to see if there's a side letter that changed the 80 to 96.
Excuse me, you wrote to who?
I wrote to the union to get the newest agreement. Yeah. I didn't talk about this. I said, what do you have? Thinking that maybe we might not have the most updated agreement in the past, but they sent me the same agreement. But I said, is there any side letter that I can, you know, is there any changes? Yeah. And they're looking through it now, but I'm pretty sure that we don't. Now, I did see that the personnel handbook was changed from 80 to 96 in May 21. In the personnel committee.
May 21, okay.
Was proposed to be changed, but I never see adopted approval from the board.
It was adopted from the board.
We did not see that in any of the minutes.
Okay, well, so I'll show you where it is.
Even though it's adopted, it conflicts with the MOU.
It conflicts with the MOU, and there was never any discussion on the board level about the fact that it did conflict with the MOU. Mm-hmm.
There's no discussion.
Yeah, there's no discussion. There was no, they just said, here's the new personnel manual. Okay, let's approve it, and off we went.
So based on the current system, when Mimi and Donna came in, they used the 96 hours instead of the 80. So that's what we have currently. So I'm asking for the board to let me use the 96, the personnel handbook, since we pay more, and it's in the past already. I cannot go back to my staff and deduct hours from them. It's pay already, and it's done in fiscal year 23-24. And I'm looking for approval for you guys to approve me using the handbook updated May 2022, that schedule. Now, think about that. I'm going to go back to the previous page to show you what's in each of the personnel handbook. Is that the first page? One more. And you should see the personnel handbook updated May 18 as the first page. Can you go back one more? Okay, this one. So if you can shrink it a little bit. So this is the personnel handbook that we have posted on the website, which is May 18, 2022. The next page, you see that year 1 to 2, 96 hours. That's in the handbook. And the cap rate is also 2 years. Then down below, it's a snippet of the MOU from 21 to 23. And if you scroll down a little bit, to the table, I'm sorry. You see a very complex schedule of year 1 to 4 for 80 hours. And year 5 to 10, 120 hours. And then down below, the cap rate is 160. Now go down a little bit more. And this is just to show you that where I got the numbers from the summary. And then next MOU, we have back to, can you scroll down a little bit, like the table, you can see that it's 96 hours back on. And the cap rate is 400 now. That's the difference. So this particular MOU affect half of my audit of the fiscal year 24, because half goes to the previous audit, previous MOU or previous handbook, and then half year goes into this handbook. So lesson to learn is when we negotiate these MOU, you know, or personal handbook, we have to update both at the same time. So I don't have different period to follow. And it will be great to update our personal handbook to align with this so I don't have conflicts.
So right now, tell me where we are right now. We're at 96. The cap is what?
The cap is 2 years in my payroll system. And so my ask again is to just follow the 96, the personal handbook vacation accrual schedule, and not go back to the MOU. I don't think the union will object that we pay more than...
No, I don't think they will either, no.
So with that, I can firm up my accounting.
But it won't make any changes to anybody's vacation balances.
Not if there's a mistake that I found, then I will correct that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've been using 96,
For sure since Mimi, when she went back and gave everybody 96, I think is what happened.
Okay.
So that's that.
Okay.
Approval from Finance Committee to adopt personal handbook vacation accrual schedule.
Yes, yes.
All right. That's my... that's my update, and I need a direction as to whether I need to go through this whole thing again in the board.
No, that's not. Correct me if you. I just want to make sure now I'm doing what I think I heard. I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel with that. I just want to expand on what I've learned from what you were telling us. That's all. I mean, nothing. I mean, I don't know what you could do at this point. There's been no activity on that account for years. We're just paying the bill, correct?
Yeah, I think to in line with what we're talking about, that shorten our board meetings.
Yeah.
If I give this kind of presentation,
no,
it will be
no,
an hour. So
no,
I'll give us
no
a
way.
Very small summary
yeah.
as to what we discuss and what
put
the board
it in,
decided.
In your written, you know,
yeah.
what you put in the packet,
mm-hmm.
put it in there.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so these both need to be action items. Can I put them on consent calendar?
Yeah. I mean, we're just making our handbook and the MOU align.
We're just making vacation hours align with what we've... Yeah. And we're being more generous to the employees than the MOU states, and then for Bank of America, we're closing an unneeded account. So I think those are both ripe for the consent calendar.
MBS 2, it's a requirement to show SB 165. I'm not going to go into detail in talking like I labeling each page, but we can just do a discussion item or information item to show it because it has to be.
It's receive and file. Yeah, so it'll be discussion item.
Okay.
You got that one with the MBS for discussion item, receive and file.
That's it. Any comments?
Nope.
Was that it?
I think that's it. Good. We're adjourned.
Thank you very much.
5 minutes early.